wrapping up 1 Peter today, chapter 4. There'll be three more messages as I tackle chapter 5 as we look to kind of close out 1 Peter. But when I do that, I'm going to jump right into 2 Peter, because I believe there are some additional things that Peter, of course, writes to the church that are important for us to hear again from his second letter. Truth for tough times. How many feel like you've ever had some tough times? How many feel like you always need truth in good times and tough times? Amen. Life is not easy. Anybody? I mean, is there anybody that's never, ever had a problem? Maybe these two little ones right here. You know, no. Yeah, you ever had a problem? Nope. Just hang in there. Listen to the message today. You know, you can feel like things are going along pretty good, and all of a sudden it's like somebody flipped the switch and life changes. Sometimes it's a phone call from a doctor that can trigger those emotions. You're told maybe by the company that they're downsizing. You know, these are the real things that happen. Maybe someone you thought was your friend turns on you. Someone you love dies, right? These are all things that affect us. Maybe you're challenged to take a bold stand for Jesus because your faith is attacked. In fact, that's some of what we're looking at today. Those are just a few of the trials that might come in life. But here's Peter writing to a group of people. By the way, these are probably relatively new believers. Now, I know you're not, but I also find out that we need to hear the truth of God's word again and again and again. I never get tired of hearing John 3:16. Why? Because it's life-giving. But these new believers have put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. However, in their current condition, they are facing trials. And those trials are because of their faith in Jesus. And now I'm sure that some of them are confused and a bit disillusioned because they thought life in Jesus is going to be better than everything. I mean, I've got the King of the universe on my side. But Peter is writing to this church because they thought things would be better because they had him, and he's going to help them, though, stand strong even when things are tough. He wants them to hear truth for tough times. Now, I know, as I said, I don't and I've said this over the weeks, I don't know what's ahead. But I know that we're going to have to stand stronger for Jesus than we ever have in the past in the days ahead. Just in my lifetime, I have watched prayer disappear from school. It happened during my years in school. I remember as a second grader having the opportunity to go into the office and get to pray the opening prayer over the elementary school, over the intercom, and I actually sang the Old Rugged Cross as a second grader in our school. That would probably never happen today in one of our public schools. Things have changed, and we're going to have to learn to stand strong for Jesus. Peter, I believe, is writing these words to encourage and instruct his friends. And also remember, these words are given by the Holy Spirit to Peter. And they've been preserved by God for us today so that they can encourage and instruct us in our tough times. So here's the beginning of the passage for today, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Church, you need to understand that though you might face, in fact, when you hear scriptures today, don't think attacks on your faith are strange. It is what we're going to face. In fact, Peter says in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the living word. It's activated because of our faith. And Lord, when we said we believe in you, we activated your word that by faith we are saved, not works. And so, Lord, today as we open your word, we want it to continue to minister to our lives and lead us in every day ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The first thing that Peter tells them is, these believers, don't be surprised by trials and sufferings that might come your way. If I could simply put it this way, believers are not shielded from pain and suffering. Sorry to burst your bubble. There's a lot of people who think, I'm going to get saved, everything's going to be great. Matthew 5, 44 and 45, listen to what Jesus said. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So church, if Jesus said we're going to be loving our enemies, guess what you're going to have? If he said you're going to be praying for those who persecute you, think what you're going to go through. You're going to have enemies, and you're going to be persecuted. Why does he say that? Verse 45, in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he says, rain on the just and the unjust alike. I know that sometimes the message of Christianity can come across like it's going to solve all your problems and make everything wonderful. And it does for eternity. Those who believe that it's going to happen here on earth quickly find out it does not free you from difficulty of life. The difficulty can actually get worse because you are a believer. I just want you to know the Word of God never makes the claim that life will be without tough times or struggles. The Word of God tells us the truth. In fact, there's two reasons that suffering in this world shouldn't surprise us. The first reason is the Bible clearly warns us of suffering. As I read stories from the Old Testament, we're presented with all kinds of people who were severely tested in their faith. Abraham, Joseph, the coat of many colors, Job, go and read his story. How about Daniel? How about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We love the story, and we love the ending of the story, but why don't you put yourself in the story and see how well you would survive the test? The New Testament, we're told by Jesus, by the way, who is our Savior, he says this in verse 10 of Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you're blessed if you're living for Jesus in a righteous way and being persecuted. He goes on in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. All of a sudden, you've gotten sad on me. I'm telling you, church, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. John 16, 33, Jesus says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. I know those are tough, right? But is the Word of God true or not? That why are we so surprised? Why are we so disheartened when this happens? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Paul the Apostle talks about the ministry that he and his companions had. Are you ready for this? Here we go. New Testament. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We proved ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and in the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Wow, what a way to live. By the way, I think he heard what Jesus said when he said, listen, it's going to happen. But you know what? Be glad. Be glad. James, the brother of Jesus, says it this way in James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, and they will, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Wow. I'm thinking about this, right? It's going to get hard. But church, the church is alive and full of joy. There's a second reason we really shouldn't be surprised, and that's because Jesus faced trials himself. Again, here's what he tells his disciples in John 15, 20. Remember what I told you. Remember, 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 remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. There's two sides to this. There's the negative side that if Jesus was persecuted, and does anybody think he went through any type of persecution at all? Absolutely. Then we will too. But because of the truth he told, people began to obey. And I'm telling you, because of the truth you will tell of the Word of God, people will still listen also. Church, trials are just a part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So know that believers are not shielded from pain and suffering. Amen? All right. Secondly, suffering comes our way, though, for different reasons. 1 Peter 4:14. Or verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Notice the condition of Peter says, if you suffer, referring to suffering while you're serving Jesus, that we shouldn't suffer because we murdered someone or stole from someone or did anything that would be criminal and break God's law or the governmental law. Peter goes on and says, listen, or even as a meddler. I had to look that word up. I was just curious to what it meant in the Greek. It's the word, this long, alatre episkopos, long Greek word, referring to a busybody meddling in other people's affairs. In other words, Peter is saying, stay out of other people's business. Because if you don't, you're going to bring suffering on yourself. Don't do that. Church, not all suffering is godly suffering. Some suffering is the consequence of our own sinful acts. In other words, sometimes we suffer because we deserve it. You get meddling in other people's business and they start fussing at you, that is your problem. Unfortunately, there are many people who are being persecuted for the gospel. Now listen carefully, when in reality, they're being persecuted because they're mean. They think it's because they're sharing the gospel, but it's they're mean and intrusive and offensive while they're sharing the gospel. Peter says, don't let that be you. Now, this is the part we have to understand. Some trials are meant to correct us and change us. Some difficulties in our life, God is using it to deepen you. The dryness around a plant. How many of you are into plants and all of that? I know some garden and all that. But what happens when a plant gets dry around it? It begins to send roots. Actually, it works harder. It sends roots deeper to find moisture. For us, in the times of trial, then you think, God, where are you? Why don't you just deepen your faith a little bit, get a little deeper in your prayer life, a little deeper into God's word, and find that strength because it is there. Listen, when we're faithful, even though life is hard, the world will listen more carefully to you because of your faithfulness. Remember Job in the Old Testament? He did nothing wrong. You remember the story. In fact, I think it's God who started the whole mess. He said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He did nothing wrong, but his faithfulness and his suffering provided, listen, the validity of his faith in God. When friends and wife and others are saying, give it up, he hung on, and you know what? God's goodness in the long run was there. Other trials in our lives can serve as a training ground for future ministry. Church, like it or not, we learn compassion often by what we suffer. Several years ago when I messed up my right ankle, and I learned so much during that time, but one of the things I learned, compassionate, was our sidewalks. I never understood why a little sidewalk raising up a half inch would matter until I went through it. And all of a sudden, I'm on a scooter or a cane, and I'm not lifting my feet as high, and I'm like, whoa, what? It never bothered me before until I went through it. Think about Joseph, again, the coat of many colors boy. All the suffering he went through, but God was using those experiences to train him and to put him in a place where he could save many, many lives, including his family's life during the famine that happened in Egypt. Most of the time, we have no idea why we're going through difficult times. So when those hard times come, the first question you need to ask is this: have I caused or provoked this suffering by some sin or some sinful attitude? See if there be any wicked way in me. Check me first, not God. God, what are you doing? Check me first. See if there's anything in me. And if there is, then repent of that and work to correct that ungodly attitude. Get it right. And then if you can't see any problem from your action as a believer, then just entrust yourself to the Lord. Take confidence that God is using the trial or the suffering that you're going through for His purpose, for His goodness, even though you can't see it. Why? Because believers aren't shielded from pain and suffering, and suffering comes our way for different reasons. Maybe God is preparing you to help someone else. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 1, 4 and 5. Hear it. He comforts us in all our troubles. Aren't you glad that you're going to have troubles for Him to comfort you in? See, we like the comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that. Everybody say, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Are you ready for verse 5? For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. When you've been there and know that God walked you through it all, then you can help others with the same comfort you've received from the Lord. Let me go back to verse 13 for a moment. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Rejoice, rejoice, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Whether that is comforting somebody or whether that is heaven. Church, if we're overlooked for promotion and don't get hired because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then rejoice that Christ was seen in you. Changes your perspective, right? Well, they don't like me. They don't. You know what? I'm glad they saw Christ in me. Because you know what? God is probably guarding you. Youth, if you get a lower grade in school because you believe what the Bible says and you stand up for it, then rejoice that you know the truth. Because our kids are being challenged to believe other things that are not biblical today. And this could be anybody. If you're excluded by your peers because they don't like your values, then rejoice knowing that your values come from God's Word. They protect you, guide you, and help you. The idea here is really simple. When people treat you like they treated Jesus, then it shows that they see Jesus Christ in you. And church, when we live for Jesus, it's going to be a contrast to the ways of the world. And some people might even feel a little guilty around you. And not really because of anything you said, but because of the way you live. And of course, instead of dealing with their own sin, they'd rather just attack you and the way you live. But understand and allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to work in them. You don't have to push anything else. Let the Holy Spirit then do His work by the way you live. And if we endure suffering or attacks because of our faith in Jesus, we do it to demonstrate our trust in God is real and valid. In fact, Stephen did it right up to death. And they're stoning him. And he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, just like Jesus said. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Church, we need to live our lives because this is not all there is. Romans 8:17 says, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. That means we get what He's got. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But If we are to share his glory, we must also what? You got it. Peter goes on in verse 16 of chapter 4. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Church, be delighted that you bear the name of Christ as a Christian. There's no need to be ashamed of it. We are people of faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Next, Peter says, verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Church, it is right for judgment to begin in the house of God. Basically, it's right for us to look at our hearts first. Whenever you're going through stuff, that's really what he's saying. When you feel that, check yourself out first. It's the scripture I quoted, a few minutes ago that, search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Then lead me in the way of everlasting. Church, for us to look how faithfully and how truly are we following the Lord. For us to say, oh, I'm renewed, I'm transformed, that we ought to be people who look like we're transformed and who reflect the Word of God. If we are to be a holy people separated unto Christ, then we ought to be a holy people. That's what we got to check. And by the way, salvation is not hard to receive in the sense of being saved. Salvation is a free gift. But our salvation can be hard in the sense that being a disciple of Jesus, it brings challenges. Because our life in Christ demands that we do away with sin and that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why real discipleship, our genuine walk with God, could seem to be a hard thing at times. But what's really hard is for those who will not put their faith in Jesus. Their eternity is decided by them and is destined for separation from God forever. And church, that's why this message has to be told to them to give them the opportunity to follow Christ. The last verse of chapter 4 says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Pastor James, would you come? As I close today, I want to give you three things to think about. The first is this: be prepared. Get a clue that our American culture and our American education system is becoming more and more hostile to God's Word. Get a clue. Prepare yourselves. It's because people do not want a standard of truth. It's because people do not want to face the idea of ultimate accountability. And many just don't want to believe they need a Savior. But we are the people of God. We know we needed a Savior. We know we were sinful. We know we had messed up. But we found the grace of God. And we said, I'm going to walk in the grace of God. I'm going to believe. And then I'm going to live ready and prepared to endure whatever we have to so I can remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my walk. Secondly, in this passage, he said, commit yourselves to God. Peter said, commit yourselves to your faithful Creator. Faithful, faithful, faithful Creator. From the moment he began creating, he's been faithful. Church, you can trust God's work in your life. You just have to remember, God is in control no matter what is going on in life. God is working his plan even when things feel out of control. So stay committed to God no matter what. And lastly, continue to do good. Now, we are not just to stand up for Jesus when trials come. That's what we should do. But at all the time, we ought to continue to do good. We're people who are filled with grace and kindness and a desire now to show love. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've got to continue to show the love of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. And if we do that, you're going to keep in mind that believers are not shielded from pain and suffering. You're going to know that suffering comes our way for different reasons. Check it out. And then as followers, what are we going to do? We're going to be prepared, commit yourselves to God, and continue to do good. This morning I want to close by simply two things. First of all, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and I think back to Peter. Hey, Peter, he walked with Jesus. He kind of been a good synagogue goer. But when the rubber met the road for him, he denied that he even knew Jesus. And then he meets the Savior, risen Savior, and has a talk with him, and Jesus restores him because of grace. It doesn't matter where you've been, God wants to restore you and give you grace and mercy in your life, not because you deserve it, but because he loves you and wants you to be with him, the creator forever. You think God's done creating? We haven't even begun to touch the expanse of the universe or other universes. Church, we have no clue what God has made for our eyes to behold one day. And all I can tell you is, according to the Word of God, it's beyond anything you could ever imagine or think. But first of all, if you don't know him, would you come to know him? Put your faith in him. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And only by faith in him can we be saved. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If that's you today in this place, and you want to surrender your life to God, maybe rededicate your life to God, would you lift your hand? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone in the room today? Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Won't embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray because I want us to restore it, make it right. Would you pray with me? This one who raised his hand, would you just pray? Everybody pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and live in me. Holy Spirit, fill my life. Use me for your purpose and your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. That's the beginning of the walk. That's where it starts. That's where the rededication lands and says, you know what? This is where I want to be. But let me tell you what happened for Peter. It was on the day of Pentecost that Peter got changed and was able to pen things like this by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus said, so you can be my witnesses. So many times we put the effort on the tongues. Tongues is the initial physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But listen, the power of the Holy Spirit is so you can continue to be a witness. When those tough times come, when those sufferings come, what is it that is within you that is going to uphold you and make you stand your ground? Because Peter couldn't stand his ground in his own belief and walk with Jesus for 3 years. But on the day of Pentecost, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've always thought it's unfair. The guy who denied Jesus is the one who gets to preach the first message of Jesus, and 3,000 people get saved. I always wonder, that doesn't seem right. Should it have been John, the beloved, who hung close to him, and right? But I think it was the person who understood the power of grace, who understood the power of change. Not just the message of grace, but the power of it. And he stands up in the power of the Holy Spirit and begins to preach and say, I'm standing for Jesus no matter what. Even until his death, when they hung him on a cross and they were about to crucify him. And he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. And they turned him upside down on the cross and crucified Peter. Church, what are we going to endure? And how are we going to do it? This morning, I'm going to invite you to stand. I've already asked the Lord, but I'm going to ask you to be ready to receive whatever he wants to pour out today. Because I know you need the power to do it. And I want the power of the Holy Spirit to really fill your life. So you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said earlier as we were reading it. He said, yeah, it's the goodness, it's the grace, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will help you endure whatever is to come. You need that. Heavenly Father, in this place today, Lord, we've sung songs of surrender. But Lord, I don't want it to be lip service today. God, it is our hearts. Would you just take a moment and begin to surrender to the Lord right now? Just, Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. Lord, we desire everything you have. We need the life that you have in us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is a guarantee in our lives and salvation. But Lord, I pray that you would baptize your church. Lord, that you would infill your church. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would dwell within us. Lord, pour yourself out on your church. It's your church, Lord. Lord, you are welcome to do whatever you need to do in us. And Lord, it's our surrender. Because God, we know troubles may come. But we know that you live in us and that we choose to live for you. And Lord, empower us to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. And receiving everything he wants to do in your life, would you just say amen, 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 amen. Church, I just want you to know really need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to make it in the days ahead. Church is good. Friends are good. Godly friends are great. But I'm telling you what, when you get attacked and you feel it on the inside, you're going to need on the inside the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God within you that you've hidden in your heart to hold you strong. Because in our own strength, we can't do it. And that's why Jesus said, I will not leave you helpless, but I will send the Paraclete. I will send the Holy Spirit, who is a helper, who will come alongside of you. And so, church, we need that helper today. Amen? So, God, help your church. And fill your church. Empower your church to be everything you want it to be as we surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's just 15 minutes between the services, but C, D, one of those, I don't want you to see it works. I want you to sing this simple little song. And I surrender all. I just want you to simply be careful not to just say words. But if you're singing this and declaring these words, I want you to mean it. Amen? Here we go. I surrender all. I surrender all. Everything. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I'm going to leave you right there. Carry that thought and have a Jesus-filled week, empowered by the Holy Spirit for the purposes of God that lead you to heaven. Amen. God bless you.